72.
Blog Talk Radio.
He will give you the new address. I love you. Even then, I knew that I was under attack by the enemy. And even then, I was reaching out to someone that I knew that loved me no matter what. And as a child, I wanted so desperately to be loved. And I wanted so desperately for my father to know that I loved him. And I say this to you, daughter, because the enemy is going to come in. He's going to come in your home. He's going to come in all shapes and sizes. But if you know that you have a father that loves you in spite of your imperfections, in spite of your trials, in spite of your hard times, you have a father that will embrace you no matter what. Saints, I was writing this letter to my earthly father, but as I looked at this page, I knew I was crying out to God. Even as a young child, I was leaning for the love of God. And I bless the Lord that you kept this letter all these years. It reminded me that even then, the enemy was lurking. But church, on this resurrection day, I still have joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And I begin to look around. There was a sweet, sweet anointing in this place. I couldn't even move. I just took my seat on the white chair, and I began to pray to God, and I began to read over what God had given me, and I just cried out, and I said, you know, brethren, there's a sweet anointing in this place. My sweetness, regardless of your trials and your tribulations, God is still God. And your desires, he's going to grant them. Your pain, your suffering, all of these things will be denied. Amen? Just like the serpent that crawled, God said that his heel was scorned with his head. You just step on all of these things that you know are not like God and put them under your feet. Amen? Hallelujah. There was a song in my spirit, even from yesterday, as we celebrated the life of a good friend, Gary James. Some of my old friends, it's good for old friends to see you. It's even better when they say there's something about you. When we left from the wake on Friday night, the meeting place was the Elks on 49th Street and Northwest 7th Avenue. And I was feeling a little cross for being there. I think I even spoke to you there, Deacon. Bless you. And I said, I want to be here because I want to see my old friends, but I just don't feel good being here. Something didn't feel right to me. It just didn't sit right. But as soon as I thought I saw everybody that I could see, I quickly made my exit. Amen? But they said that it was something about you. And as they saw me on Saturday marching in the procession, I could see the looks on their face. Oh, that's it. No wonder. I get it. Because when God has changed you, there should be a change in you. Amen? You don't have to say, no, I'm saved now, so I shouldn't be here. Just your demeanor, your character, those things will speak to you. Amen? So they should be able to say, you know what? That's a true woman of God because she came, she greeted, and she departed. Amen? But the song that sat in my spirit from then even until now was, why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
For those of you that know the words of prayer, continue to pray the strength of Prophet Pamela King. Let all things be wasted away that are not like God. That her mind, her body, and her spirit will be made whole in God. Amen? Amen. Luke 24 speaks on our resurrection. What do you mean by our, Pastor? Whatever belongs to Christ belongs to us. I'm reminded when the bishop said that we have died already. Has anyone in this place died already? Amen? All things are passed away, and lo, behold, the new. Amen? I am a new creature in Christ. Amen? I am born again. Have you been born again? Amen? To be born again means you have already died. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, there are some things that are happening right here to Jesus. Amen? 3 days in this tomb. Amen? The whole life of Jesus was miraculous. The way that he was even conceived was miraculous. So everything about this great man's life was miraculous. Amen. Somebody say miraculous. We're here to talk about some miraculous things today. Amen. Back in the Old Testament, Christ even made it identifying to say that I was here even then. Genesis 1 and 26 says, and God said, let us make man in our own image and after likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and the sea, and over the fowl and the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Even then Christ was here. And John 1 and 1 through 5 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was stepping down into further verses of John 1, it says, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, Scripture is letting us know that there's nothing that's here that wasn't made by God. Amen? In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Say, I have the light. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What does that mean? The darkness can't touch you. You are the light. Say, I am the light. Amen. He reigned in his identity. I'm here to tell you about this resurrection. He reigned in his dignity to become man. What do you mean he reigned in it? He was ruling before he denied himself in the heavens to come down here. Amen? He went ahead and resigned what he had going on in the heavens. Lord, send me, I'll go. Anybody has that kind of mentality? Send me, I'll go. Am I talking to a church? Send me, I'll go. Amen? Don't let the cold air fool you. Hallelujah. In Philippians 2, I'm going through this because I need you to get this. Amen? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who, beginning in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Somebody say, I need to be humble. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Some of us don't have that kind of obedience. I don't know if I'm strong enough for somebody to say, go kill yourself, and I'll do that. Amen. I remember a few years ago, the young people used to have that old saying, go kill yourself. Kill yourself and die. I thought, wow, that was powerful. Thank God they had no power in their tongue. Amen. Thank God they had no power in their tongue. See, the power only kind of shows up when you actually start receiving the things of God. So without God, you have no power. We kind of gotten that concept in the earlier scriptures reading today. Amen. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above all name. Anybody know that name? All right. That name was Jesus. It said, Jesus, every knee shall bow and everything in the heavens and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, some people always say, every knee shall bend, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No, that's not scripture, that's man. Because we took out a most important part there. He said that the things in heaven and things in the earth and the things under the earth. That's the part we didn't get. That means the heavens, the earth, and even hell. That's the part that we don't get. Why? We will allow songwriters to dictate what we're going to say. Every knee shall bend, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Something about an angel, right? But see, this is why we're to study to show thyself approved, right? We find the word of truth. Not unto us, but unto who? Amen? Now, what happened here is that he had cocooned himself, cocoon, that means to wrap up, to form, amen, in a flesh of a man. He humbled himself even to the death of Christ. And the Old Testament saints were covered by the animal blood, and then their sins were rolled away for like a year or two because they had to do some sacrificing of animals, amen? Thank God we don't have to do that no more. Because I can't even see somebody putting a knife to little Bruce. Amen? Harming Charlie or Foxy or even little Fancy. Can you imagine that they're actually sacrificing animals and covering themselves and believing that all these rituals was allowing their sins to go away? I think I'd lose my mind if I saw a bloody person running through the street talking about, save me, Jesus. Something would be wrong with that sight. Amen? Because we know of a Savior that paid it all. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:13 said, these all death in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embarrassed of them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Yeah, I don't know him. Uh-uh. You walk around me talking about, Pastor, pray for me. You covered up in blood. Talking about, I prayed and sacrificed the animal. I don't know you. Something is wrong. I don't know you. I'm confessing that I don't know you. You can't house this Holy Spirit of God and still behave in such a way. So what did they? What happened then? They died in faith. I had faith that God was going to save me, but I wasn't doing the things that I was supposed to do. Anybody doing that right now? Anybody having the faith that God is going to save them? God is my Savior. I don't care what nobody say. I'm living right. They ain't living right. But I'm going to tell you quicker than anybody how to live right. But I'm not living right. But by my own identity, by my own concept, I'm living a holy life. Watch out. I'm going to step on some toes, saints. But if somebody points out your bad side or show you where you are not being conducive in the body of Christ, that's when you swell up. Tell me I ain't doing what's right. I know I'm saved. For if you know this, then how am I able to see imperfections within you? How is that possible? Come on, Saint, talk back to me today. How is it possible to say that you profess this resurrected Christ and still live a raggedy life? One more time, prophet. God bless you. Hypocrisy in the house of God. But see, now there was to be a redeemer. Somebody say redeemer. One that forgives sin. Jesus came as a lamb to take away the sins of the earth. The reason we identify him as a lamb, because a lamb is humble, is meek, amen? It doesn't cause discord. It doesn't cause problems. But even in the old, they recognize a lamb as a sacrifice. So even then, he had to do what the earth was doing. I'm going to allow myself to be exposed. I'm going to leave my dignity in the eye. I'm going to step down into the flesh of man and become the lamb of sacrifice. Nobody wants to sacrifice themselves anymore. Nobody wants to be the blunt of a bad joke. I'm sorry, Deke. I wasn't talking to you. I'm sorry. I did something very horrible to him this morning. Amen. So this was not about you, but I'm going to openly say that I'm sorry. Amen. Sometimes we got to correct some things before we move past some things. Amen. But nobody wants to be ashamed. No one wants to be told anything. Because sometimes when we're told something, it brings shame to us. Anybody been like that? I got a bad haircut. Somebody told me that does not look good on girl. Oh. And I've been walking around here for 2 weeks and I finally somebody say something. I've been shameful now. Come on. You can laugh, it's all right. But look what Christ did for us. He put on the robe of shame. He solicited all sin. Everything for God. From God, just give me everything. I'll step down. I'll intercede. Here it is. To stand at the entrance to the tomb of a friend called Lazarus. We're still talking about this Redeemer. Amen? To pass by a funeral reception. Amen? And to stop and raise this little boy up from the dead and restore him back to his mother. We're still talking about this Redeemer. Amen? Now, that won't save you just for you to know about what he did. Amen? But to take 5 biscuits, amen, and 2 fish and pass them along to 5,000 people, amen, and command his disciples to take them all back and pass them along. We're still talking about this Redeemer, but that won't save you to know the story. It was not enough. Somebody say it's not enough. It's not enough for him to stop by and even heal the woman with the issue of blood. That wasn't enough. It said it wasn't enough for him to walk on water. It was not enough for him to cleanse lepers. It was not enough for him to open the eyes of the blind. It was not enough for him to set the captives free. It was not enough for that to save you. All of these miraculous things he was doing while he was still alive, yet it was not enough. Not enough. The world needed a savior. It needed a savior that the world would die, amen, and that all things would be passed away. It needed a savior that would die way over on Calvary. Oh, the whole saint. It needed a savior that would give his life for ransom. It needed a savior that would shed his blood so that our feet could not be rolled away for a year, but that it would be forgiven for eternity. Still talking about this Redeemer. So that we may stand redeemed in him. Anybody standing redeemed in God? Now, we needed more than just a healer. We needed a healing in our bodies. Right? We got some things going on. I can contest to that. But I need just more than a healer. Amen? I need a provider. I need someone that is willing to sacrifice everything. And I need someone that can actually take away all of my sins. I need someone that can actually remove all of my imperfections. I need someone that will hold down this battle for me. I need someone that will receive me. I need someone that will give up everything for me. Jesus. We needed more than just a miracle worker. We needed a Savior, one that could die and be risen again, and one that was victorious over death and hell and the grave. Listen to this, friends. Listen. Almost reminds me of the little boy listening. There is not anybody that can lose. Watch this. He didn't go too far gone. No, nobody's gone too far gone. Amen. Nobody's too far in their drugs. Nobody's too far in their alcohol. Nobody's too far in their adultery. Nobody's too far in their falsification. Nobody is too far that God can't reach him. I've been doing this for too long. I'm too far gone. God ain't going to save me. The devil is a liar. Nobody is exempt from being redeemed. Now that's the glorious light that God can shine through anything and anybody. Huh? Tell your neighbor, God can use me. Amen? So regardless of what you're going through, God could still use you. You mean to tell me I've been doing all these bad things and I know that I'm not living a holy life? I know that I'm not living good in front of other people. I know that God is not pleased with my behaviors, but he can use me? Absolutely. My God, he went to the cross to buy your salvation. He paid for your salvation full price. There was no discount. It wasn't no BOGO. He paid full price for you. Amen? He gave it. Oh, we're still talking about this Redeemer, the one that was doing miraculous work, the one that we call our Savior. We're still concerned with his resurrection day. Amen? He paid a supreme price for mankind. He paid it all. Matthew 12:40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale belly, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Man. So this was being prophesied way before Christ stepped into glory. Stepped down from glory, pardon me. It was being testified and prophesied even then. Amen? And though his body was hanging on the cross, the word says that he gave up the ghost. "It is done. It is finished," he said. Acts 2:31 says, "He seeing this before speaks the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did corruption." That his soul was not left in hell, and you can't leave somewhere where you've not been before. Am I right about the same? So are you saying that Christ went to hell? Yeah. I am. Because he died for our sins. What is the punishment of dying in sin? You go to hell. Amen? His spirit and his soul plunged into the regions of hell. Anybody ever known of a crater just coming into the atmosphere of the earth? Poof.
and it leaves a crater about as big as Miami? Can you imagine how he plummeted into hell? How he left a mark there? He tasted the flames of hell. He took our place in hell. Isaiah 53 says to me that, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any decency in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt have made his soul of an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowing shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with grace, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath shall pour out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercessing and the progressors. He made his grave with the wicked, scripture says. He did. No one else made his grave. He could have proven himself in front of man that I am that I am. He could have shown all the miraculous works in front of them. But even the enemy, Pilate stood before him and said, who are you? You are the king of Jews. He even answered to them and said, you know who I am. You're calling me to be who I am. In other words, I ain't got to prove myself to you. Anybody ever been in that situation? Say you're a pastor, you say you're a minister, you say you're a deacon, you say you're a prophet. Prove me what God gonna do for me tomorrow. That's a sorcery. That's not of God. And with your wicked self move from before me. See, we gotta learn how to talk to the enemy. Even when they come in the form of friends and family. Amen? You just slept with me last week, now all of a sudden you're saved? Absolutely. Hallelujah. This is what we found. We found that Lucifer, amen, when Christ even went to hell, I'm just using a paraphrase of thinking of how this went, where Lucifer, and he bruised his head, gave him a thumping of a lifetime. But in Genesis 15, it says, and I will put the infamy between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall be bruised by thy head, and that shall bruise his heel. Amen. And by this brushing taking place, there is still a thumping going on. There is still a thumping in the hell. He will walk through the gates of hell, and then they will let him go because he has not sinned. The hell cannot hold him. Satan calls out death on death. Hold on to him. That I don't know if I can hold on to him. There's something about me holding on to something that is not guilty of these sins. That said that he is wrapped up in grave clothing, but I still can't hold him. I can only imagine where Lucifer said, oh grave, oh grave. Hold on to him. The grave said, I don't think I can hold on to him. He's already moving, amen. I already feel the blood running warm in his body. That means his grave is not meant for him. All of a sudden, he just cried out to death. I need you to keep him. How many of you know that scripture said that he went into the pits of hell and took the sting out of death? When you're saying preacher, death is not going to hurt you. It merely puts you to sleep. This is why we usually say sleep in peace, dear friends or dear loved ones. to sleep means you've got to wake it. Amen? There has to be an awakening somewhere. Rest in peace means you just resting, you chilling. I don't know no dead people just chilling. Dead to me means sleep. Amen? You're learning something right now, saints. Death does not mean for you to rest. Rest is what you're doing right now. You understand rest. We've been confused for many and many years when we say rest in peace. But if there was a corpse sitting up in here, then I don't know if y'all would be resting. Amen? But it's sleep in peace. Sleep. Amen? Now, there is a cross place between hell and moving to heaven. Let me explain to this. According to the story of the rich man and Lazarus, it was known that the paradise, somebody say paradise, and hell was near each other. The only thing that separated it was the great gulf. So when Jesus walked out of hell, and then he went into paradise. Paradise was a place of the departed of the righteous, of those that had slept into faith, not having received the promises that they were covered in animal blood. Paraphrasing, but I'm telling you about scripture. Amen? He preached to the captives. In John 19:34, it says, but one of the soldiers with spear and pierced his side, and forth came throughout the blood and water. In Zechariah 12:10 says, the spirit of grace and supplication, and I will pour unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn his face as one mourneth the only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as no one that is bitterness for his firstborn. So, here it is. They bruised him. They killed him. They made sure that he was gone. He plummeted into the hills. He shook off the grave. He moved death from him. He took back the sting from it. And now here we are, looking at this thing and saying, well, that's a bitter story. That's an awful story. They did all this to this one man. They didn't do it. They were led to do it. They were led to do it. Why were they led to do it, preacher? Because the word said that he had to be a sacrifice.
That's right.
He had to make the prophecy. Some things are in your life, but for a time, a reason, and or a season. And these times, these reasons, these seasons, is because there is prophecy over your life. Sometimes we have to just go ahead and sacrifice some things so that prophecy can be fulfilled. I'm still praying to have that kind of strength that Jesus had. Because I don't know if you spit in my face, because I'm ready to give up the ghost for you. Pray for me. We're still talking about this Redeemer. And I say, thank God I am Jesus.
Amen.
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 Now, there is Moses. Moses, who are you looking for? The I am that I am. I'm going somewhere, saints. Stay with me. Ezekiel, who are you looking for? The middle and the wheel. Jeremiah, who are you looking for? The fire that shook in my bones. the one when he spoke to the posts at the door that they moved. David, who are you looking for? The one that allowed my heart to burn within me. John the Baptist, who are you looking for? The one whose shoes and I am unworthy to unbuckle. So, sir, you don't know you. Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? This great Redeemer, this Healer, this Deliverer, this Savior, who are you looking for? See, even saints get off track because they are two masters, aren't they? So sometimes we behave in such a way that we're actually serving the wrong master. Yet you are still saved. But now let me remind you of something. Oh, I'm saved. There is a guaranteed space for me. The Bible says that even the saved will let it make it through. It will be like a camel trying to fit through the eye of a... God bless you. So, you crying holy, holy, speaking in tongues and throwing on certain garments and putting on certain incense and bathing yourself in certain oils, that's not going to do it, saints. Examine yourself. Watch your tongue. Because now you got time. See, before, kill yourself and die, you had no power. But when you profess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you receive him, and you repent of your sins, don't miss that part. Now you got power. So be careful of what you say and how you behave. Because watch this, you mind yourself while you're in this sanctuary, but when you leave from the presence of the pastor, how do you behave? We're very good when we come to church. But how do we behave when we leave here? Listen, even in my household, I stand up strong. Don't you talk to me any kind of way. The devil is a liar. Well, I speak to some things that I want to move. Amen? Jesus replied and said that I am the one that you are looking for, and I came to set you free. He just came to set you free. Hallelujah. Paradise was moved that day. In Matthew 27:52 says, and the graves were opened up. They opened up. And the bodies of the saints which slept arose. Watch this. What did it say? The bodies of the saints which did what? Oh. Go ahead, old preacher. They weren't resting. What were they doing? Because we know that the word of God doesn't lie, right? We already know that it's already blessed, right? So they were sleeping. So even they got up. The ones that were resting in paradise. So although they buried his flesh 6 feet deep, we are still sleeping in paradise. Hallelujah. And he came out of the grave after his resurrection and went unto the holy city and appeared unto many. And Ephesians 4:8 said that wherefore he said, when he ascended up high, he led the captivity captive and gave life unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also ascended far above all heavens, that he may feel all things. So you mean the same one that went down came up again? Absolutely. Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 5:8 said that we are confident. Say, I'm confident. I'm confident. I say, I'm willing rather to be
with the...
Got some Bible scholars in here today.
Amen? The devil cries out. Amen? And he still is saying, get hold on to him. Do all that you can to hold on to him.
Not working. Prophecy is already going forward.
Not working. Not working.
Here it is. On that resurrection morning, let me go back out. From that resurrection morning, 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 says, behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. They say, I can't sleep. But we shall all be changed.
But now,
pray for me. I can smell the blood.
And it shall not deceive. But now, listen to this. He died because he was killed. He knew that he had to die in order for the prophecy to manifest itself. He knew that he had to be killed by his own people, even the ones that he saved. But now, this mystery, we're going to put a pin in that mystery. Here it is. One scripture says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be risen incorruptible, and we shall be changed, right? We will accomplish that. For this corruptible must be incorruption, and this mortal must be put to immortality.
What are you saying, preacher? You're going to live forever. That eternal glory. Amen?
So you die corrupted. Because flesh is dirty. Let's just say it plain and simple. Flesh is dirty. But now this soul that we house is incorruptible. Why? Because we've accepted the Holy Spirit to come in and wash us as white as snow. But now when we rise, that corrupted becomes incorrupted, and then when we rise incorrupted, our mortality becomes immortality, meaning we are now descended into everlasting life and eternal glory. One of the scriptures says, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? And the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The law actually goes against everything that God goes against. Watch this. Now we got same sex getting married. That goes against God, doesn't it? But it's a law that's been passed. Did any of you know that in the state of Florida it was illegal to cohabitate without a marriage license? See, the older generation would know that, but you young folk would know that. Could I call the popo and get you locked up for shacking? Yep. But now watch this. Will they actually do it? Because they don't all know the law. So even the ones that put on this uniform and profess that they are the law and the representation, those that intimidate our people very frequently don't even know the law that they're governing. Sinful, isn't it? So they're the first ones to tell you what you should and shouldn't do, but then they don't know all the things that they're supposed to do. The law is full of sin. It's not perfect. I'm reminded that even when they threw a coin to Christ, Christ said, render to God that is due to my God and give to Caesar what is due to Caesar. But when you're living in this world, you're giving everything, say everything, unto God. Listen, if I was reminded that even when you take an oath, and you take a vow unto God that you are going to do certain things,
Whether you feel ready for it or not, I think we talked about this, Brother Ship. Whether you feel ready or not, the fact is, you took the vow. So you have to live up to the vow that you've taken unto God. All hell gonna break loose. You'll never be happy. You'll never be financially secure. You'll never be in a place of righteousness. You'll never have peace in your family. You'll never have peace in your home. So now you think about this resurrection that has happened on your behalf. He didn't just die for me. I like to think that I was that special. But it wasn't just about me. I think I said a few weeks ago, this is not about me. Amen? But it's the entire body. So when we take a vow unto God and we say that these are the things that we're going to do for God, He's watching you. I remember years ago, I think Ashley was maybe 3 or 4 months old. And I was on 79th Street and 8th Avenue cashing a check. Listen, I had it pretty rough back then. I had a father and my stepmom. But I had it pretty rough because I didn't feel wanted. But listen, when trouble came my way, the first thing I did is cried out, Daddy! I said I was a fighter. I was cashing my check. And I remember it was only $88. And this man reached over as I cashed my check, and he snatched it and he hid it. But he ran and he jumped in his car. He told his girlfriend, drive, drive. She was pretending she didn't know what was going on. I stuck my hand in her car, snatched her steering wheel, and said, if you're going to drive, you're going to take me with you. I reached over and grabbed her husband or whoever he was. I picked up my money, and I was booking. And the whole way while I was trucking, I was calling my daddy. Until I got in the door, I was calling my daddy. Someone was trying to rob me of everything that I had worked the whole week for. Back then, I think I was making $2.75 an hour. Yeah, y'all looking a little crazy. Minimum wage at that time just had increased to $3.75. I'm helping you out. So why y'all young folks think, we y'all can't do that, everything's so expensive. You really need to check yourself. But not getting off of this, I just needed you to know that there was victory, and once I can get to my daddy, I knew I was going to be safe. No matter how the enemy tried to steal what I had worked for, no matter protection to my father. Let my life be a blessing to you. You better run to the protection of your father. Let's just make it plain. You better run like hell. If you can feel the heat on your back, you better run. I look back. Anybody ever say when they told you when you said, Mark, you said go? When you look back, you kind of slow down. I remember all the principles of running at that very moment. See, a lot of y'all don't know my life. Hear the song, the prayer team say, you don't know my story. Amen? I was reminded the other day when I was talking to Sister McCray, she said, you know, a lot of things may ease up to you. I said, well, I just can't understand that. She said, well, no, Pastor, because you're in a different place. Your life, you actually had to work for some things. You actually had to do some things to get what you got. A lot of people are ungrateful. Got mamas that work 3 and 4 jobs, 5 jobs, and then when they grow up, they ain't got 2 cents. Uh-oh. So you can actually appreciate and value some things. A lot of people don't put value where value is due. You take for granted a lot of things in your life until it's gone. I'm preaching to you. You take advantage of God until He's gone. Anybody ever heard your pastor say, don't be tempting my daddy? Back in Amos, search the scripture. He said that when I take my hand of you, it won't be a famine, it won't be a bread and water, but it'll be of my word. You ever been in a household where your mom and daddy stop talking to you and you know something wrong? Whole house quiet, seems a little strange, something is not right. That's where we are right now. Something is not right. Everybody's not lining up with the things of God. But he did it all for you. He worked so hard for you. And something is still not right. Anybody get that feeling sometimes? Something ain't right. All hell just keep breaking loose around me. Now, Christ has already paid for me in full. Yes, something is not right. Anybody look yourself that way? But here in the scriptures, I told you I was going to go back with that pen. Corinthians 2 and 8 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the prince of this world knows. Who's the prince of this world? Anybody know? The devil is the prince of this world. This is where he gravitates. This is where he manipulates. This is why he tells you, no matter what you do, you got this. You'll be all right 2 weeks from now. Just go ahead on and do what you got to do. Examine yourself as two masters. Choose you this day, my God. For had known they knowing it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You mean if I knew that he was the Messiah, I wouldn't have did it. It really didn't matter whether you made the choice that you was going to do it or not. He knew that it had to be done. But now that it has already been done, you have a choice to make of whether or not you would go ahead and continue to slay him, or would you humble yourself at the beginning of this sermon and be obedient unto his doctrine? Choice. Again, I say, choose you this day. Amen? But as it is written, and I have not seen, nor ear have heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed to them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, so the deepest depths and the deep things of God, if Satan would have known, amen, had known what was taking place, he would have tried to protect him. When the prophecy came up that it said that on the cross will be the one, that will be the Messiah, when he be lifted up from the ground, when the Roman soldiers begin to lift him up, amen, when they begin to prop him up and stand him on high, even then Lucifer knows that is the Messiah. He tried at that time, don't lift him up. They knew that once he would be lifted up from the ground, he was the man. Why? Because it was already prophesied. And while the devil was standing trying to kill him, he made up in his mind, if I knew it was him, I would have protected him. If he had not died for your sins, we'll all be a corrupted world, amen? If he had not died for your sins, we'll already be on our way to hell. If he had not died for our sins, we'll already be a lost people. If he had not died for our sins, there would be no peace on earth. If he had not died. But let's talk about this third day.
Whoa! That did something to me. The fact that I got a little chance. Small. I ever needed to get to. That's something. He didn't say will not make it through. He said will scarcely. So I got a chance. Today you have a chance. You got a chance to make it through because he sacrificed everything for you. You got a chance to make it through because he allowed his dignity to be resigned. You have a chance to make it through because he allowed himself to be scorned out on the cross. You have a chance to make it through because he defeated all purpose and all natures of God. When you lay down and say that you are dead, the dead doesn't rise again.
That's right.
But the fact that he got up with all power, somebody say all power.
Oh,
he got up with all power in his hand. You have a chance to say, because he got up with all power, you have a chance to be redeemed. Because he got up with all power, you have a chance to be healed.
He had almost said,
because he got up. Anybody willing to get up? Anybody willing to profess Christ? Anybody willing to change all of what they've been doing? Let me tell you something. The principle of law of living says that if you've been doing something the same way and getting the same results, what you need to do? Anybody willing to change today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to change some things. Time to change some people. It's time to change your environment. It's time to change your behaviors. It's time to repent of your sins. It's time to ask God to come in and do a cleaning.
That's right. Right.
Hallelujah. People say, it's that time that I need to go home and clean my house. It's time for me to clean up some things. Well, the Bible says that we are to do a cleansing. He wasn't talking about cleaning your house. He was talking about cleaning his house.
That's right.
It's time for us to train ourselves to walk holy and acceptable. Nobody wants to live a holy life. It means we're doing something bad in the eyes of our neighbors. Listen, I've lost many friends, many loved ones along the way. Even my old friend that I visited on this weekend, and said, something about you is different, you know, good to see you. Why haven't you been around? It's not like they live in New York and New Orleans or California. They're still right here. But as an example to you, we have to separate ourselves. The Bible says, come ye from amongst them.
That's what it says.
And the Bible also tells me that I need to know those that really are among you. So in knowing you, when I begin to teach you or tell you about your downfall, don't stick up your nose at me because you're doing it unto God.
Right.
Don't get upset. He said, I chase those that I love. Somebody said, I'm chasing after you no matter what I have to do because I need you. So that's his desire. That's his desire. He desires to hold you. He desires to be the lover of your soul. He desires for you to do something. He desires for you to change. He desires your obedience. He desires your faithfulness. He desires to just walk in your lap. He desires to be the lover of your soul. Anybody understand that today? I don't know about you. I'm going to get married. Well, I know how I make it up. It's a sweet thing, and it's a beautiful gift given from God. I'm going to make it back. You know how I make it up. Yeah, God for God. You know how I make it up. Of course you do. You got a wife. That's a gift from God. And if I did, that's a
blessing is God. It's sweet, it's beautiful, it's correcting. It allows you to feel good, doesn't it? You can read it, I ain't gonna say that you hardly don't do nothing to you over there. But it's a beautiful thing. Am I right, guys?
Blessing is God is going to be every day all day. Imagine that God was doing that with you every day, all day. Just making love to your spirit, man. And you have no control of it. But it's just, and your climate is just. You get to that same type of making love they call the climate. It's your worship. That gotta get a little gruesome so you can get this concept. That's just how God wants you. He wants that praise, that worship. This is why He created us. Am I right in the Bible? This is what He desires of you. When we begin to just move all of our weight, all of these issues that we bring on ourselves, mind you now, we give the devil too much credit. We do a lot of things. Never make me do it. You are not. You want it. Say it.
You want it.
God bless you. Never make me do it, no. But you want God to change your life. You want God to fix your situation. He already did it on the third day. Resurrection Day is already given us the biggest promise to ever be. Yeah. And he got up with all power. He went down with all fear. And he got up with all power. Somebody say he got up.
He got up.
Is that enough to bless the Lord?
Amen.
Is that not enough to bless the Lord? Hallelujah. Talk them into the food tonight. Hallelujah. We can have worship, please. I just need you to know that regardless of your situation, regardless of your circumstance, regardless of what you've gone through, know that resurrection says that Easter is an empty favoritism. Not some Easter bunny running around eating happy in cups. Let me be part of the children to have activity. But it's not something that we should worship about.
That's right.
It's a resurrection day to say that He arose. We celebrate His life in resurrection. And because of our imperfection, He still got up. Say your neighbor, He paid the full price for me.
He paid the full price for me.
Now say your other neighbor, and I'm worth it.
And I'm worth it.
Anybody believe that today?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody believe that today? Give us up in here. Amen. All heads bowed. Father, we thank you, O God, for allowing us to come into this place. Now, O God, we ask, Father, that you touch the hearts of men, O God. Father, we ask that you place them in your hands, O God, that no hurt, harm, or danger will come against them. God, we ask, O Lord, that you receive their sins on this day, O God. For we know that the price is already paid, God. Father, we know that the victory is already yours. We know that death is already exceeded you, O God. Father, we know that you have victory in all things. God, we know that on the third day that the stone was rolled away, God. And Father, we know, oh God, that you had two angels to greet the women, oh God. And Father, we know that scripture says, oh God, that when they looked into the tomb, oh God, that their hearts were filled with grief, that your body was gone. But oh God, we celebrate you all today, that your body was not laid there, oh God, resting, oh God, but that it had arose, oh God. And Father, that you are still living, God. That you're still a just God. That you're still a faithful God. And God, that you are still ruling and reigning. God, that you are the Lord of our souls. God, we God, that they be forgiven unto you, O God. And Father, that we rest in, O God, in your secret place, O God, that we will no longer visit your sins, O God. Father, we're asking you for forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you keep us and hold us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.